Well, we are going to talk about Wisconsin politics this hour and the views of Wisconsin voters, according to the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 23rd. We will find out how and where we are leaning today in the race for president in Wisconsin, for U.S. Senate, for the probable recall election, for Governor Walker. And we will welcome your questions for our guest on the issues shaping these views. We'll also welcome your answers to some of the poll questions, like who do you favor in the race for president, President Obama or one of the GOP contenders? Do you approve or disapprove of the job Governor Walker is doing? Is the John Doe investigation involving Governor Walker's former aides a serious matter or just politics as usual? Some of the issues we'll be covering this hour. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Charles Franklin, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll, and co-developer of Polls and Votes.com. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks a lot for joining us. Well, let's start with the presidential race. President Obama has a pretty good lead over all of the other Republican candidates.
That's right, and it's increased since our January poll. In January, we only asked one matchup, which was Obama versus Mitt Romney, and then Obama had an 8-point lead over Romney. But this month, a month later, that lead has jumped to 15 points of Obama over Romney. And in fact, Rick Santorum is the strongest Republican candidate, though Obama leads him by 11. The others, Ron Paul, Obama's lead is 16, and Newt Gingrich, the lead is 23. So we've seen a big shift in a month that partly reflects, I think, Obama's rise in national approval levels, where he's risen a little bit and just broken through the 50% approval rate for the first time in several years. But we've also seen the conflict within the Republican primary field that has left the GOP divided over who their nominee will be. And I think that is the other part of why we've seen a growth in Obama's lead right now.
Yeah. Well, and that is another part of the poll with Rick Santorum leading the field in Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah. With 34% for people who say they'll vote in the Republican primary, Romney at 18, Paul at 17, Gingrich at 12. We were doing the interviews last Thursday through Sunday nights, which were really at or near the peak of Rick Santorum's surge since he won three states on the same day a couple of weeks ago. And so whether this is sustainable or not is an open question. His polling has moved sharply up in national polls, moved sharply up in Michigan, though there the campaign, which is very intense, has started to narrow his lead over Romney. So this is very much a moving target in the most dynamic primary race, certainly the most dynamic Republican primary race that I think we've seen in a very long time, if ever.
Do you think anything happened at last night's GOP candidate debate that would change these numbers?
You know, it's always tough to handicap an event like that and say what will happen. My sense is that there was not a knockout blow at all, but that the increased competition that's going on in Michigan and Arizona and in the lead up ultimately to Super Tuesday in a couple of weeks, I think that will probably move the national and the other state polling numbers a good bit over the next, say, 2 weeks. And remember, we don't vote until April, so we've still got a little ways to go before they get to us.
To what do you attribute, Professor Franklin, this lead switching in the GOP race and Santorum's most recent rise?
Well, if you look at the polling throughout the year, we've seen one candidate after another catch fire, have a big surge in support, only to then top out and turn around and come back down. Newt Gingrich has actually done that twice, just to be able to show that you can do it more than once. While Mitt Romney, who has often been called the front runner, has remained fairly stable in the low 20s to mid 20s, though he had a brief period where he broke into the 30s before coming back down a little bit. So I think what you're seeing is a party that's trying to decide which of these candidates they like. It's fair to say that, despite it being late February, we've only had a few primaries at this point, and we're not into the Super Tuesday and post-Super Tuesday period. Having said all of that, I think as the party has searched for a nominee that they can rally behind, especially how conservatives in the party have been not quite ready to fully embrace Mitt Romney, or at least to have a little bit of doubt about him. They've been trying a variety of other candidates. And in the end, primary elections are sometimes a lot more dynamic than general elections. For us old-timers, we can remember when Gary Hart had a big surge against Walter Mondale in 84, for example. So this happens in both parties, that sometimes you get a situation where dark horse candidates or second and third tier candidates can suddenly surge. It's just unusual this year that so many candidates have had the chance to surge and then ultimately have not been able to sustain that.
It's got to be pretty troubling, though, to Mitt Romney to be Michigan's native son, his father the governor of Michigan at one time, and he is not necessarily going to win that state with Rick Santorum leading him there, too.
Well, that's the politics of it. Mm-hmm. Romney has identified with Michigan in the past. He's done well there in the past. As of last summer, the GOP convention in the state was very positive towards him. So it would be a serious embarrassment to him to lose that state. In terms of the delegate count, it wouldn't be that damaging, but in terms of image, it would be. And we've seen a considerable Romney response there. He's out advertising Santorum heavily in the state. And the poll numbers, which had initially jumped up to give Santorum as much as a 15-point lead, have now fallen back to just a few points for Santorum. So I think there's still several pages to be written in that book before we get to the vote on Tuesday.
We're still seeing some headlines, though, about the possibility of maybe still another Republican candidate getting into this race. What's your political analysis of that?
Structurally, it's becoming harder and harder to do as we're passing the filing deadlines across the states. You simply can't get on the ballot in many states already, and there's not much time to get on the ballot in any of the remaining states that may be voting in, say, May or June. Maybe not impossible in a few places. I think the strategy would be the only way that makes a lot of sense would be if the current candidates divided the delegates so evenly that no one had a majority going into the convention. If you get past the first ballot, there's always the chance of an open convention, but you have to go back to the 50s to see that happen. And so I think most political scientists at least look at that and say, there's always a lot of talk about that, and it almost never happens. So I think I'll remain... count me one of the skeptics of that happening. Mm-hmm. But, maybe not quite technically impossible at this point.
Another poll result is you asked about the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin, and it looks like former Governor Tommy Thompson is leading right now.
Yes, and that's very interesting because Tommy Thompson has 48% in our poll to Tammy Baldwin's 42%. So a small margin, 6 points. But when you look at the other matchups, Baldwin against Mark Newman, it's Baldwin who has the lead, 44-40. And against Jeff Fitzgerald, Baldwin's lead expands to 45 to 37. So this is what we called in the write-up of it, a split decision, that that race could have either party leading, depending on the matchup of the candidates. And again, just like with the presidential race, we're a long ways away from the August primary to pick a Republican nominee, and of course, a bit further away from the general. So it's always true of polls, and I want to just emphasize it, that we're talking about the snapshot in time of where opinion stands today, and we've got a long ways to go before the voters actually get to the polls. So mm-hmm. our point is understanding where we are today, not pretending that we're a crystal ball.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think the split decision in the Senate race does suggest that it will end up being a hard-fought, close race, because voters can prefer one candidate under one set of circumstances or a different candidate under another set of circumstances.
And how big a deal do you think name recognition is in this particular race?
It's quite high. I mean, quite important. Tommy Thompson remains the most widely recognized candidate in the Senate race, with a very large percentage of the public being able to say whether they've heard of him or not. But the other three, Baldwin, Newman, and Fitzgerald, all suffer from a much lower name recognition. And as the campaign mm-hmm. ramps up and those potential candidates become, or actual candidates, become mm-hmm. more visible, and especially as we get into the summer or the late spring, when they're actively campaigning and advertising, I'm sure all of them will see big upturns in name recognition and voter familiarity. But having said that, at the moment, Thompson certainly has an advantage because of that.
We are talking with Charles Franklin, who is a visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette University Law School poll. And we are talking about the latest results from that Marquette University Law School poll. We've touched on the results on the race for president in the United or in Wisconsin. We've talked some about the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. After this weather break, we will talk about whether we have a favorable or unfavorable view of Governor Walker these days, and also talk some about what we think about the potential recall candidates in a gubernatorial recall. Let's check the weather. A winter storm that was expected to hit today went farther south than originally anticipated, so the winter storm watch has been dropped from our forecast. However, a winter weather advisory is in effect for southeastern Wisconsin tonight, where 3 to 5 inches of snow are possible. Otherwise, about 1 to 3 inches expected elsewhere in southern Wisconsin. It's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy day today, with highs mainly in the 30s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 5 o'clock, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. And after 5, Ben and his guest will discuss the films, actors, and others who are up for Academy Awards. The Academy Awards take place on Sunday, so we will invite your picks for Oscars coming up after 5 this afternoon. We are talking about Wisconsin's political climate at this time, talking with the director of the Marquette University Law School poll, which just released some new numbers this week. Charles Franklin, our guest, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. We're going behind the numbers and talking about the issues influencing these numbers, and also getting Professor Franklin to react to some other issues, related issues in the news. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your answers to some of these questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. All right, well, Professor Franklin, let's talk about Governor Walker. His favorability ratings dipped a bit from last month.
They did a little bit. In January, we had his favorable ratings, I should say. We ask people, generally speaking, do you have a favorable or an unfavorable view of each person? Or haven't you heard enough about them yet to have an opinion? So that's really the question we're talking about. In January, his favorable was 50% and his unfavorable 45%. In February, the newest poll, that favorable rating drops 4 points from 50 to 46, and the unfavorable rose 3 points from 45 to 48.
Now, is that statistically significant?
It's right at the margin. The margin of error in our poll is 3.7%. So a 4-point movement is just at the margin of that. I think the right way to look at this is, because both the favorable went down and the unfavorable went up, you know, there's a reasonable conclusion that there's been some modest increase in his unfavorability or decrease in his favorability. But I would say anyone should be a little skeptical about overstating how dramatic that shift is. Just for comparison, for President Obama, his favorable went up from 50 to 52, and his unfavorable went down from 44 to 43. That's certainly within inside the margin of error and represents, I think, at best just a little evidence for an improvement in Obama's favorability. So these are meaningful movements. They're not completely trivial by any means, but it's easy to overstate how important or how dramatic they are as well.
We often hear, though, if your favorability or job approval rating goes below 50%, that's time to be a little worried.
Well, any incumbent would like to be at 60%, of course. I think that I count me as one of the skeptics about there being a firm cutoff that if you're at 49 instead of 50, you're somehow in trouble. I think, especially given what we were saying a minute ago about how dynamic elections can be, how things can change from month to month, it's important not to get too caught up in changes from one month to the next. If March, the next poll, shows a continued trend in the same direction, then that starts to become more convincing that we're seeing some strong movement or meaningful movement over time. But I think the evidence here is that maybe the governor has not had a very good month, and that has had some effect on his favorability standing with the public.
Well, we'll talk about
just cautioning about not overinterpreting either side.
Right. And we'll talk maybe about one of those tough things this past month of the John Doe investigation in just a moment. But let's talk about how the potential recall candidates on the Democratic challengers to Governor Walker in a recall, how they're doing.
I think there the most important thing is that they're still emerging in the public eye. I told you the question earlier that includes, or haven't you heard enough about them to have an opinion? 50% still say they don't have an opinion about Kathleen Falk. Now, that's movement. She was at 56% in January. So there actually are 6% more people who are now willing to rate her and feel like they've learned a little bit. And so that's a bit of growing movement. Though her net favorability remained exactly the same. Her favorables went up by 3 points, but her unfavorables went up by 3 as well. So there was no net change there. Tom Barrett is a little better known at 43% unable to rate, though that 43 was actually bumping up from 39 last month. So perversely, he became slightly more unfamiliar to voters. And then Kathleen Vinehout, who entered the race in the last month, is still unknown to 76% of the public. And so I think what we're seeing there is that with the Democratic field that's still uncertain of whether Tom Barrett will get in, Doug LaFollette is talking about getting in now, others may yet enter the race. There's a lot of uncertainty and there's not as much central focus on them. If there is a Democratic primary, I think that will be a period in which potential supporters for these candidates all start to focus on them more, start to think about them and develop perceptions of who they like and who they don't like. So I think these numbers will be changing pretty dramatically over the coming weeks and months. But until we actually see the election called for and a primary scheduled and actual campaigning getting underway in a serious way, I think it's not surprising that the Democratic field is still fairly unknown.
Yes, as you mentioned, Doug La Follette is considering that run for governor. He's going to be filing paperwork with the GAB, apparently, today. He says he wants to determine whether there's enough interest in him to run. I think he wants you to put him in your poll.
Well, we'll have to see. Now, obviously, we'll cover candidates who get in the race, but we're still waiting to see who that is.
Yeah, and do you have any just thoughts as a political scientist, any significance to his entry into the race?
Well, I think the real issue here is clarifying who the field is and voters thinking seriously about those people. Secretary La Follette certainly played a visible role in the dispute over whether the Budget Repair Bill Act 10 had been legally published or not last spring. So he certainly became more visible during that time than Secretary of State's usually are. But I think this is an issue for the parties and for the candidates to sort out, not for me, certainly, mm-hmm. not for the poll to sort out. And as the party shakes out and decides who it wants to run, and as other groups get interested in who's running, I think this will work itself out. I think there's a lot of good argument for why primaries are good for parties in generally. Parties usually hate it, but I think it's a chance to build this name recognition.
We will pick up our discussion after we check the latest news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Well, as we just heard in state news, Governor Scott Walker's favorability ratings took a slight dip from last month, according to the Marquette University Law School poll. We are talking about the poll results and the issues behind them this hour with Charles Franklin, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the poll. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, February the 23rd. We have already talked about some of the poll results when it comes to the race for president in Wisconsin and the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin, and a little bit on the potential recall of Governor Walker. And we'll continue to do so and welcome your questions and your input at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Professor Franklin, I want to talk about the John Doe investigation that you had in the poll this past month. But I wanted to get your reaction to what Governor Walker said in our story in Wisconsin Public Radio News just a couple of minutes ago, where he said that, well, you know, he wasn't so concerned about poll results. He thinks that people look at the situation in Wisconsin and they realize that if Governor Walker weren't in office, we would be headed down the same path as Illinois, and nobody wants to go there. I'm wondering if you interpret it the same way.
Well, obviously, every politician and every party on both sides likes the poll when it makes them look good and doesn't care for the poll if there's anything that they don't like. That's normal. There's a mixed picture here that I think it's very hard to get if you just listen to the parties on either side. In January, we asked people about whether all of the changes in the last year would be positive for the state in the long haul or negative for the state. And a plurality, more people thought that it would have long-run better consequences for the state. So that's some evidence that the governor has a significant group of people that think that this is, in the long run, good for the state. But then in this month, we find evidence that goes the other way, in particular since jobs has been such a centerpiece of his campaign and the Wisconsin is open for business and arguing that the state has added jobs in his administration. We asked people for their perceptions about jobs. 22% in February said that the state had added jobs in the last year, but 30% said the state had lost jobs. So that's a difference in perception from the argument that he's making. In contrast, 31% thought the country had added jobs. And when we asked about your community, 19% said, I got that number wrong. Never mind. Let me drop that one.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit lower. People are a little more pessimistic about their community than they are the state as a whole, but I don't have that number right in front of me.
The reality is, Professor Franklin, too, the perception was that the state had added, 22% said the state had added, 30% said the state had lost. The reality is the state lost jobs.
Well, it's almost even, and this is going to be a point of some debate. And I want to stress, we're not asking people to know what the numbers show. We want to know what people's perceptions show.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the distinction. If you look at the economic data, the state added jobs in the first 6 months of the year at a pretty rapid clip, and then in the second 6 months of last year, lost jobs at a pretty rapid clip, so that the net is just a little bit positive as of the last numbers that came out, but after 6 months of steady job losses here in the state. And so this is why there's a political debate about it. There's different evidence depending on which party wants to spin the numbers. But I think the critical part for the voters is to say that they're not, in fact, in our data, optimistic or seeing the state adding jobs. They're, in fact, a little more likely to see losing jobs or to see stagnation. 45% thought there was really no change in jobs over the year. Back to my bigger point, there are some things from the polling that we've seen where the governor's positions do have substantial support. There are others, including cuts to education and health care, where a large majority opposes some of his policies. And here on the issue of jobs and what's been the effect of his policy changes, we're seeing a little bit more skepticism here. So these are the kinds of issues that could enter into a recall election that touch on the usual kind of economic and policy concerns of elections. It doesn't all have to do only with the budget repair bill and union representation, but it has to do with management of the economy and delivering on your campaign promises. Mm-hmm. I would think that we will see some debate over the next few months over which story is right, as in the clip you played, the governor saying, you know, the alternative is to become Illinois. Well, that sounds like a debate that a Democratic candidate could take on and the governor could defend, and we'd have a good old-fashioned debate about that topic.
You know, Professor Franklin, we're getting a number of calls regarding methodology, and I usually don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that because I want to talk about the, you know, the issues that that you dealt with in the poll. But you know, the certain things like the sample and cell phones, and can you just kind of give us the basics?
I'm happy to. So it's 716 respondents interviewed last Thursday through Sunday. We include cell phones in our sample. Cell phones make up between 25% and 30% of the state these days. We have 27%, I believe, in our sample. So we're pretty close to representing the cell phones, as we should be. We use live interviewers. A lot of polls these days use automated calls or so-called robo-polls, where you just hear a recorded voice that says, press 1 for this or 2 for that. We don't do that. We're using live interviewers. And we call numbers over the various nights until we get someone to actually answer the phone. I think anybody that's tried to reach their son or daughter off at college knows that you don't get every call answered on the first try. And by being in the field over four nights, we get to try multiple times until we get an answer. And someone says yes or someone says no. We don't badger them after that, but we do have to have the chance to call until we at least speak to a human being on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And do you have more Republicans or self-identified Republicans than Democrats in the group?
No, in this sample, we're a little more Democratic than Republican by, I believe it's 6 or 7 points. Let me just pull that up for you so I can give you the right answer to that.
No, you know, it's not, I guess, it's interesting because the first poll in January, the sample was slightly more Republican, and a lot of people thought it was a biased poll because
of
that.
Well, that's first of all not true. Mm-hmm. It was not more Republican. The first sample was 2 points more Democratic than Republican.
Okay, that's different than what I heard, yeah.
The current sample is 7 points more Democratic than Republican. The Gallup poll, which releases data every year based on their enormous sample that they've collected all year long, shows the state at 5 points more Democratic than Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the Gallup data, it's Democrat 45, Republican 40. Our data this month is 39.47. So call that 39 or 40% Republican. And the Democrats, we have 47% in this poll. So we're 2 points higher on the Democrat. We're pretty much on or 1 point below on Republican. Last month, it was a 2 point difference. So if the Gallup data says there should be about a 5 point margin between the two, last month we had a 2 point margin. This month we have a 7 point margin. So that's well within the normal range of sampling error that you would expect from month to month to month.
Yeah.
We do not weight our data based on partisanship because it fluctuates over time. Very few pollsters do weight to party for that reason, or don't because of that reason. And so you'd expect this level of variation, but we're within a couple of points either way of what the best Gallup data suggests is the party balance in the state.
All right, great. And I said I wasn't going to spend too much time, and here I go again. But the Marquette Law School poll is you're going to do this every month through the election.
That's correct.
And your mission is
To inform the public.
Mm-hmm.
This is intended to be as transparent as we can. We put all of the questions, all of the results, all of the methodology, including these numbers that I'm citing you right now, are up on the website. They went up at 6 a.m. yesterday morning with the release of everything. So people can look and they can see how our numbers match up with the known population of the state and can judge for themselves whether we're matching up with those statewide demographics. The other thing we do is we release the breakdowns by demographics, which most people really don't care to get quite that deeply into it, but it's a way of saying to people who are interested, come and look.
Mm-hmm.
We're an academic institution. We're not a partisan institution. We're not working for an interest group here. Our goal is simply to produce results that voters and the public can look at and, again, make up their own minds about. But it's an attempt to fill a void because the state has relatively little polling. Wisconsin Public Radio, to its great credit, I think, sponsors polling that St. Norbert's College does fairly regularly. The UW has an occasional Badger poll, which they do. But other state media have opted out of the polling business. And so as a result, we have very little polling that comes out in the state that's not generated by a party or by an interest group. And so we're trying to fill that void a little bit with polls that don't have the, that don't have quite as much of a partisan or an interest group focus as some do.
Right. We will have the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll coming up. Usually it is once in the spring and once in the fall. So sometime March, April, we'll do one of our own. Right now we're talking about the Marquette University Law School poll, which is directed by Charles Franklin, visiting professor of law and public policy at Marquette University. Charles Franklin, also co-developer of PollsAndVotes.com. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about the various candidates and issues that were covered in this month's polling. We will talk after this weather break a little bit more about the probable recall election for Governor Walker and the John Doe investigation. Professor Franklin asked if we thought that this John Doe investigation involving the former aides of Governor Walker when he was running for governor, whether or not this is really a big deal. Is this something really serious, or is it politics as usual? Well, what's your answer to that question? Is the John Doe investigation serious or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, partly to mostly cloudy. The best chance of snow is in the south today. Highs will be mainly in the 30s. The winter storm watch has been canceled, though a winter weather advisory remains in effect for far southeastern Wisconsin, where there is a chance of 3 to 5 inches of snow. The rest of southern Wisconsin, probably just an inch or two. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we are going to talk with the author of the book, Glock, The Rise of America's Gun. That's coming up after 8. Now to some calls for Charles Franklin, who is director of the Marquette University Law School poll, talking with us about the poll results and the issues involved. Don in River Falls is with us. Hello, Don.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
I have the question about a rumor that I heard up here recently. That was that Governor Walker would enter any Democratic primary himself to siphon off votes. I want to know if that's possible and what your guest thinks about it. That actually did happen up here in the Shelley Moore-Sheila Harsdorff contest.
I have not heard that rumor. I think it's extremely unlikely. Especially if the Democrats are going to have a primary anyway. Part of the reason that Republicans encouraged so-called fake Democrats in the recalls last summer was to extend the process. But since Democrats seem to be headed to a primary in any case, I don't think there's any reason to do that. But further, I just don't think that's a very likely scenario under any circumstance.
Yeah, I guess there is some blogs that are talking about this rumor that these are supporters of Scott Walker. I'm not sure exactly who, but they are utilizing word of mouth and social media. They are encouraging voters across the state to write in the name of the governor as a candidate in the Democratic Party or in the primary.
I see.
That would be a long shot too, would it not?
I think it would be. Write-ins are extremely hard to get that many people in the loop and do. I mean, we've seen an awful lot of maneuvering by both parties over the last year, but I think that one is well. Yeah. I think I'll leave it to the blogosphere to carry out that rumor.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the poll results when you asked about the John Doe investigation. Apparently, most of us think that this John Doe investigation is something serious.
Yes, and have heard about it. That's the other interesting thing. You know, there are an awful lot of news stories that never penetrate a lot of the public. But we asked, have you heard or read about the John Doe investigation? 72% said they had heard about it, 23% said they had not heard, and a small handful volunteered that they'd heard something but really didn't know anything about it. Then we asked, is the investigation just more politics, or is it really something serious? And 52% said really something serious, 40% said just more politics. And so it means that it has penetrated the public, and folks are taking it fairly seriously. Now, interestingly, there was no party difference in awareness. Democrats and Republicans both showed 75% aware of the investigation. But where there was a difference was on just more politics versus something really serious. Two-thirds of Republicans said it was just more politics. 80% of Democrats said it was something serious. However, 25%, a quarter of Republicans said it was serious versus 16% of Democrats who said it was just more politics. And finally, independents were the least aware to begin with and were a little more likely to say more politics than to say something serious.
And I guess in a nutshell, this John Doe investigation is looking into the activities of Governor Walker's aides when he was county executive, Milwaukee County Executive Walker, running for governor. And I guess the allegation is that some of them were doing campaign work on the taxpayers' dime.
That's right. Yeah. And there are several other issues involved as well, but that's the most recent. Since we did the January poll, there have been one new round of charges brought, plus the governor announced a couple of weeks ago that he would be meeting voluntarily with prosecutors in the case and had hired a legal team to help him with preparation for that. We haven't really had any further information that I'm aware of anyway about the governor's role here. And I think it's important to point out that no one outside of the prosecutor's office knows where this is going or what the ultimate outcome will be or who will ultimately be involved. And so this is still a developing story. What's interesting and what our polling data casts some light on is that almost three-quarters of the public is aware of the issue, and a majority, 52%, are thinking of it as something that is to be thought of seriously. But this will develop over the coming months, and I don't think any of us have a good idea of where it will go or what it will lead to.
Yeah. Well, I think we covered just about everything, except you did ask about that proposed mine in northern Wisconsin. What happened there?
Yeah. There are two things there. First, let me read exactly the question that we used. There is a proposal to develop an iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. Supporters argue that the mine will create 700 jobs and long-term economic benefits. Opponents argue that not enough environmental protections are in place to preserve water and air quality. Do you support or oppose developing the mine? And we found 52% supported and 33% oppose with that question wording. But it's important because another poll came out on Monday that asked the question a different way and found the opposite results. And I think it's important for people to note this because it shows that how voters are thinking about a question or how the question is put to them changes things. So that poll said, supporters of the mine say that Wisconsin should streamline its environmental regulations in order to create more open-pit mining jobs in northern Wisconsin. Opponents say the existing water protection should not be weakened to allow out-of-state mining companies to expose Wisconsin families to chemicals such as mercury, lead, and arsenic, which is closer to your view. And that poll found just under 50% opposed to weakening environmental protections and just under 35% supporting the streamlining. So I think it's important to look at that, and that's why it's so valuable when we have multiple polls. You can see how the difference in question wording matters and how voters think about a question that can flip the opinion on the mine to favorable in our results and unfavorable when you make stronger arguments about it.
Thank you so much for being with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joy.
Charles Franklin is director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. This is the Ideas Network.